I've chosen for a subject, God judges his church. I wonder sometimes if we remember that. This is not Armstrong's church. This is not John's church. This is the church of God. And as such, God has a right to judge his church continually. As parents, we observe and judge our children as they grow. And we as members of God's church should not forget that God is surveying, God is observing exactly what we are doing. Jesus said, as you remember, in Matthew 16 and 18, I will build my church. So this is the church of God and its son Jesus Christ. And we are becoming members of the family of God as we submit to God and allow him to have his way in our lives. I'm hoping in the next few minutes to show you that God is judging. God is surveying. God is looking at his church as we go about our daily business. And we must be aware, seriously aware, that God is seeing what we are doing. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 9. Let's look at verse 7. Psalm 9 and verse 7, a reminder that God is observing and God is judging. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for what? The judgment. God is preparing, as he is already involved in preparing his throne for judgment. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, we find that something is already going on. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So, brethren, need I remind you that judgment has already begun at the house of God, which house we are. So God is looking at us. God is observing what we as his children are doing in the house of God. Some years ago I gave a sermon on behavior in the house of God. There is a certain behavior, there's a certain deportment, there's a certain manner that we should exude as members of the house of God and as children of the household of faith. God is not interested in what the church down the street is doing. God is not aware. Aware is not the word. God is not interested in how many great meetings they have and how many people come. Sometimes we feel diminished. Sometimes we feel out of it because we don't have the hundreds and the thousands that others have. Some pastors, they call them mega churches, 3,000 members. But God is working with his church. And what does he call it? A little flock. Fear not, little flock. So don't become diminished in your mind because you think, well, we're not a big, we're a small church. We are a small flock, but God is aware of his church, and God is judging his church as we go. In the book of Matthew, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he made his disciples aware of their responsibility to the work. He had not yet founded his church. Here's chapter 7, chapter 16, 18, we just read, where he said, I will build my church. And we have the tendency in God's church to assume the responsibility of God, because human beings like to play God. Here's what he says in Matthew 7 and 1, 1 through 3. Judge not. That's God's responsibility. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, meet, it shall be measured to you again. Judging is not our responsibility. We can observe, and if we understand God's way of life, we realize that some folks are off. Some folks are not true to their responsibility. Some folks are not doing what God expects them to do. But judging is not our thing. God is the judge, and God will work it out. In Hebrews chapter 10, God calls upon us to remember our responsibility and where our responsibility lies. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So in other words, we are not to forget that we are to assemble as a body in the presence of God, as we're doing now. This is our responsibility, to get here. And have you noticed how tardy some of us have become? We asked that the service be moved from 11 to 11:30. And we're not coming on time. We're not making an effort. If you know the Long Island Express is going to be congested on a Saturday, as it generally is, you are responsible to leave your house earlier and not say, well, the traffic is bad. It is our responsibility to assemble in the presence of God in a manner that God respects and accepts. Do we get to work late? I told you that happened to me one time. Well, it might have been other times. I got there about 3 minutes after the time for clocking in where I worked. And as I got to the clock, one of the big bosses was standing there. He said, no, I'm actually late. And we've got to remember, brethren, that this is a responsibility. This is one of the only times we meet with God as a body. And it is our responsibility. Why? Because God is judging. Judgment has begun in the house of God. God judges his church. God is looking. All of these churches that have bingos and try all sorts of things to get people's attention, God isn't looking at that. They are already outside of the pale of what God is working with. God is working with his people, and you are one of the people of God. And you must get that and keep that in your mind. You have been called. God calls those whom he wants to assemble with him. The church is known as the ecclesia, the people that God is working with. And God is, fortunately for you, working with you. Therefore, you should be malleable. You should be letting God work in your mind and in your heart and in your life. And you should be aware of that as the days go by. God is working with me. And if God is working with me, he took time to work with me. I must be clay in the potter's hand. Don't think you're a big shot. Don't think you're bigger than God. It is God's work. It is God that's doing his will in you. And if you think you're bigger than God, God has the ability and God has the plan whereby he can bring you down to size. My grandmother used to say to me, "I'll catch up with you one day." Ali said, "You can run, but you cannot hide." So God is working, God is judging his people, and he's doing it now. Let us remember that, and let us allow God to work in us, so that when his judgment is complete, we will not be found wanting. Another scripture I have in mind, and this is what the subject is focused on, is found in the book of Revelation, the last book. It is dubbed in your Bible the Revelation of St. John, the Divine. As you know, that's not inspired that far. This book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ to his church and to his people. And here in chapter 2, he begins to let these churches know and realize, and brethren, may we realize that God is also assessing us. Let's hear what he says to this first church. And to the angel, who could that angel be? The angel is the pastor, the leadership, those that have responsibility to feed the flock of God. He's referred to here as the angel of the church of Ephesus, the pastor, the leader, the leaders of the church in Queens. Right. These things that he that holds the seven stars, the seven churches, in his right hand, who walks in the midst. Are you aware, brethren, seriously, that God walks in the midst of us? He hears our talk. He sees our walk. He sees our, once again, behavior. He sees us. We sang in Sunday school many years ago. He sees what you do. He hears what you say. My God is writing all the time. God judges his church. And we are under judgment, brethren. Be we here in this little hall, or be we on our job, be we in our cars, God is judging us. This is not meant to scare us, but to make us aware that if we are under the observation of God, how ought we to behave? How ought we to conduct ourselves? How are we to be responsible to God in the things we have committed ourselves to do? And so this church at Ephesus began to slip. Read the book of Ephesus, a wonderful church. a moving church, a mighty church. But here, God says, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks? I know. Not I think. I know your works. Isn't that serious? God knows your works. You can hide from the leadership of the church. You can avoid it. You can play games. Silver had said, Samson thought he was a big shot. Samson thought he was way up there, nobody could touch him. And sometimes we get the impression and the idea that we are so mucky-mucky. We are so big. We're brilliant. We've gotten our education. We have a good job, a fancy car, and a lovely home. But God says, I know your works. I know where you're coming from. I know who you are. I know what you're doing. And that's not condemnatory, brethren. That is that we have someone who's looking out for us, who wants to protect us. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. Have we come to accept evil as good? Have we come to accept things that are against the plan of God as being okay? God says, I know your works, and I know you cannot bear them that are evil. You've heard about the frog. You put the frog in a pot of water and he's enjoying himself. And then you put that pot of water in the stove and turn the heat up and he feels, oh, this is great. We get comfortable with things after a while. And the hotter the water gets, the more comfortable he gets, not knowing that this is going to be his demise. This is going to be his end. We cannot afford to get too comfortable, brethren. There's a lot more to do. There's a lot further to go. There's a lot more for us to understand. There's a lot more God wants out of us. We are not there yet. This church, as you will see, had found itself like the frog, getting evil, and has tried them which say they are apostles. Many years ago, they sort of placed that name, title on Miss Armstrong, and he was not comfortable with it. Have you noticed most of the ministers on the television, they're no longer just simply ministers. All of them, it seems, have become apostles. Apostles? Everybody is an apostle. Apostle this, a bishop this, and whatever. You cannot stand them that call themselves apostles. Nothing wrong with the term apostle. Jesus had his 12 disciples and they became apostles. But those who assume the title apostle of themselves, God says in his work and his church, we cannot abide them. And are not. They're not apostles, except God so ordains them and sets them aside as such. And have found them liars. As is everything outside of the work of God, is a lie. He's not done with this church at Ephesus yet, just as he's not done with us. And I want you to see the similarities in this church at Ephesus and us. Verse 3. And has borne. You have allowed it to happen, allowed it to go on. We can allow things to go on and on and on and on, and it becomes so comfortable. And has patience And for my name's sake, because you're in the Church of God, have labored and has not fainted. The work of God is not for the faint of heart. Things arise, problems come up, situations find, we find ourselves in certain circumstances. But he said, I've seen your patience. And God observes his work. God knows what's going on. And he said, I found it, huh? You have not fainted. You're not allowing the circumstances to crowd out the fact that God has called you. You're not allowing circumstances to throw you away. Admirable things about this church that God has seen. And there are admirable things about us that God encourages. Nevertheless, he stopped praising. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Tell me, brethren, what could God have against us? Some might say, a whole lot. I see where we have become deficient. I see where we have become faltering. I see where we become halting. Samson used to say, the church is getting off the track. Do you find the areas where we're getting off the track? We know what the straight and narrow is. We know what we ought to do. I have somewhat against you. Has God have anything against you this morning or today? Are you all right? Are you in sync with what you promised God you would do? Or you say, I'll get to it. I know that. I have somewhat against you. When God says he has something against you, you are in big trouble. Can God have anything about our little lowly church here in Queens? Because you have left your first love. In many cases, people quote this as lost. But the word is left. And that word left is voluntary. You are the one who have walked away from God. You are the one that have stepped away from what God has assigned you to do. You are the one that need to be corrected. You've left your first love. Do you remember when you first found out about God's church? How excited you are? We're going to talk in a minute about one of the 3 R's in this passage, in this assault on the church. You were glad to find where the church is. I heard it on the radio and the television. I want to get there. You accept the excitement boiled and boiled over. You couldn't wait to find where it was, and now you come late. Or you don't come at all. Other things become so much more important. What is the subject? God judges his church. And as we find ourselves under the indictment of God, he'll tell us what to do to get on the straight and narrow. You've left your first love. Now it becomes old heart, right? Yeah. The first word of verse 5 is a saved one. Remember who you are. Remember who God is. Remember that this is the work of God. Remember you promised God sincerely and seriously, like you did that fine young woman. And then you start backtracking. Then you start finding other things to do. And then you find your marriage is in trouble. Similarly, you find your relationship with God has been affected. Remember what you're doing. Remember who you are. And without God, you are nothing absolutely. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. You are not Mr. Big Shot. You have been simply called of God, and you're required to carry out your responsibility. And God is calling upon this church at Ephesus, as he's calling upon this church here in Queens, Jamaica, to remember that to progress, we've got to depend on God. Not how brilliant we are, how brilliant our ideas are, how great we are, and unless we are in God's church, God will be suffering. The reverse is true. Unless we have God in our lives, we are of all men most miserable, says Paul. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Fallen. We remember that Satan fell from heaven. And here, God's servant, Jesus Christ, is saying to his church in Ephesus, you have fallen. And if you're in a fallen state, how can you do my work? Have you fallen from that high estate you were in? You remember the sermon of this morning? You've turned glory into shame. How apropos. And we've always got to think about, are we making a shame of what God has made for glory? How apropos. Thank you so very much for that sermon. It meant so much to the congregation. Remember from where you've fallen. And if you've fallen, you cannot... The ad says, I've fallen and I cannot get up. Went to a doctor a couple of years ago and he was saying to my wife and me, he said, a fall in your life now is the beginning of the end. Think of it. At your age, if you were to say fall down because you cannot fall up, at your age, your size, your weight, that he is to be the beginning of the end. Remember from whence thou art fallen. The second hour. And repent. So, when we have gotten away from God, he says we should remember, and now he says repent. Repent. Repentance is a very important phase in following God. How many husbands and wives fail to repent to their wives or to their husbands? I'm not going to tell him I'm sorry. I'm not going to tell I'm sorry. But you know, sorry is the beginning of the way back up. He says about fallen. So you're in a down position and state and status. And he said, while you're down there, repent. Repent is not simply saying, oh, I'm sorry. You can tell the measure of someone's true repentance by the attitude it produces. If after you've repented, you're still pompous, stuck up, playing Mr. Big Mucky Muck or whatever, you're not going to be in a prepared state when God continues to judge you. You've fallen. Just remember, repent and do first words that could be categorized as return. Remember, repent, and return to what you were supposed to be doing. Where did you fall off the horse? Brethren, the business of serving God and being in God's church is not a little business. It's a big business. It's a big responsibility. It's a big thing the day that God called you. Think of the many who have come here to the Plain Truth lectures and for the Good News meetings. Where are they? They were anxious to find out where this church is. This is such a different church. But they were just church hopping. We are church hopping. We are stuck here in the sense that we are prepared for God to work with us and to make us better people. We are interested in change. Those who are not interested in change find themselves doing every sort of other things. But we are called upon to remember, to repent, and to do the first work. What is primary in the function of the church? Do you remember what the motto for the church says? Preaching the gospel and preparing a people. When we become sidetracked, well, we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to go here, and we got to come up with all sorts of other things to attract, we're forgetting our motto. Preaching the gospel and preparing the people. It's the responsibility of the leadership of the church to prepare you for what God has called you for and for what God has called you unto. And you therefore must be willing and ready to respond to the admonition and the instructions that God has given those whom He has called, and those with whom He is working. So, remember to repent and to do the first work. And here's the caution: or else. Or else what? Or else I will come unto you quickly and further will remove. Could one in God's church be removed? Could God remove a church from its function? The sermonist told us about Saul had to be removed out of the way. And don't think we are so great that God cannot remove us and put His name and His future somewhere else. God removed Saul. The sad thing is, Saul didn't even know it. Can we be that blind that if God removes His blessing from us, we are not even aware of it? Samson, are you aware that your strength is gone? And the woman said, ha ha, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. Says, I will go out as at other times. Leapt his feet, stretched his arm. His hair was gone. A symbol of where his strength lie, because that's what she was asking him. Wherein lie your great strength? Can we become so numb, so blind to the Spirit of God that we are not aware that God has departed? Remember Saul? Then he realized that things aren't working. He ran to the witch of Endor. That's
not a place to go when you lost God. You go back to God. He ran to the witch of Endor and said, tell me what's going on. The voice of Samuel said, you've gone away from God. You've forsaken God. You've lost God. The teachings of those who teach one save, all who save. Treacherous idea. Not because you've been called, you cannot go back, go away. So the king comes and tells, go to a witch. Amazing what some people do. They realize that God is no longer with them. The things they do. I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. For this thou hast, thou hatest or hate those who are of the Nicolaitans. There is a deacon in the church by the name of Nicholas, and he had led some of the people astray. Always, brethren, there are those who are willing to get a name for themselves, are willing to lead God's people astray. But God's people must be aware of whom they are following, so they are not led astray. That I know the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Hate would be the category of being hated by God. And God in his, they always say that God's wrath always precedes his love and his revelation. Hear the love of God expressed here in verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Further advice? To him that overcomes. Have you thought of overcoming your attitude, your problem, or you're set in your ways? You've become so hard and so unmovable or immovable. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Brethren, God still finds time to be in and with his church. He is making his survey and expects us not to come up being found wanting, but to be prepared and to be ready for his coming kingdom. Ending with what we began with, 1 Peter 4:17, judgment is now in the house of God. Let us therefore find ourselves being humble and willing to allow God to deal with us while it is time, for the time will come. God's patience will turn to God's wrath.